what happened to Babar Azam? And is it, did we overestimate how good he was? Is it the technical change? Is it a mental issue? Like, he's not the same player he was.
I know the answer to that question.
Start.
That was easy.
He was built in a lab and designed for ODI cricket, and he stopped playing it. So he is the perfect ODI batsman because his natural tempo and the way he bats is set up for that format, to bat for 50 overs and let the other guys do their thing around him. He then has to switch to T20 cricket because it's the biggest show in town, right? And he opens with people like Shargil for a while, which he did domestically, who Shargil is trying to hit every single ball for six. So he can still play his normal tempo. Before T20 developed to where we are today, he just played his ODI game in T20s, right? And scored more fours at the start because the field was out for six overs. That's about it.
How does that explain what happened in Test cricket? Because his Test career is fascinating because he was probably one of the worst batters in the world for 2 years. Then he was one of the best batters in the world for 3 years. And now he's dropped again.
I think some of that is just natural variance of the universe that can happen to anybody, is that you go up and down. I do think it's that his massively time-consuming T20 career is a format that he's not suited to, particularly now.
I get that.
And then he gets absolute pelters from his countrymen, the media.
The world.
Right? And
I mean, he became a joke in the Big Bash.
Right. And by the time we got to the Big Bash, that was the unravelling of all of it when, you know, Steve Smith is sending him back in the bloody power surge, shuriken face balls. And then he hit them all for six, by the way. And then Babar is apparently locking himself in the dressing room, not talking to anyone, all this. Apparently, we don't know that.
There was certainly an issue, though.
But he definitely, like, whacked the advertising hoardings and all that sort of stuff. So he's now kind of, you could see then that the pressure has got to him. And you can understandably, right? As far as the test stuff goes, honestly, I think he spent so much time playing T20 cricket, a format that he isn't suited to. If he'd have been playing ODIs in List A all the time and then kept playing tests, I think he would have been absolutely fine. But his brain has been broken, a combination of the outside noise and his reaction to the outside noise, I think.
So technically, right? I'll let you come in a second.
For me, it is almost the Virat Kohli issue with him in tests, because he was kind of doing it till the time the wickets were flat, people were not able to figure him out. He was able to do it day in, day out, because that peak that we mentioned, there was a lot of domestic test matches in that. He scored that, I think, match-saving 100 against Australia, runs against England,
Just home matches, though, to be fair to him.
And
they were flat pitches at home when he was at home.
England also, when he travelled in that era, England was also kind of trying to make a switch to bass ball. They were also kind of giving a little, relatively flatter wickets and all those things.
He did make a technical change, though.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Like he went from being a player who had his front foot open to being having his front foot closed. Mm. And I'm assuming he made that change because he was making mistakes. So Virat really didn't make anything as dramatic as that. I know Virat's had little changes, but that's a pretty big change, isn't it? From being a
Virat batter also had to his changes have been a little. I wouldn't call them adjustments. They are actually changes that Virat's had. Like his bat would come from second and third slip.
Yeah.
And then his bat came from the wicket.
But that's different from being a two-eyed batter and a one-eyed batter, right? Like Baba went from being a two-eyed batter to a one-eyed batter. Like that's a shift in who you almost are as a batter.
Like Bailey. Like George Bailey.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't do it in that.
But for Virat also, his head used to fall significantly outside the line of the ball.
Ooh.
For Virat, and he made a significant adjustment to that also. The crouch.
But again, those are adjustments.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are adjustments that you can actually make without tinkering with the technique that much. But what he did, I think, was a little bit large scale, as in to bring your bat from a natural position that comes from more than third slip, fourth slip, gully to it coming from the wicketkeeper. It actually closes off a lot of your game. It makes you a predominantly offside player.
Yes. Yes.
That you can hit. Every ball, unless you're really good with your hands, you look to score. Like even a ball in the middle stump will score towards mid-off only. Mm. You won't score towards. I think he's trying to cover the cover drive with that. Coming back to
I was going to say, we'll stay on Virat for a minute because it's fascinating, because we did have two of the world's best five batters at one stage completely drop off, right? Mm. But Virat still found ways of making runs in other formats.
So I'll tell you what happened. My thing is, I think Babar's situation, I wouldn't even call it a downfall, I'd say his whole situation is largely impacted by social media hate and social media abuse. I genuinely believe it's a lot of that. I think a lot of that, and his response to that was, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this, and I'll show them who I am. Like, I don't think it's been like, okay, I need to shut this noise out and I need to focus on what works for me, right? I don't think he's done that. I think that's something that Virat's been able to do, Sachin Tendulkar's been able to do, Rahul Dravid's been able to do, a lot of the greats, Inzamam Ul Haq has been able to do, complain about his weight, like, shut up, man, I'll figure this out, I know who I am, right? They've been able to do that because they're very clear about who they are and what works for them, right? Babar, I think, has dealt with so much abuse, so much abuse across, and from every quarter, right? Exactly. If the Pakistani is going after him, the Indians are doubling down on him, right? And then the whole world's like, bring him down. Then the abuse, like, then the disrespect that happens from cricketers at an event like the BBL, right? So from everywhere, he feels completely isolated and targeted. And so he doesn't know, like, think about it. Like, if you're going to go through that, like, abuse of that, and disrespect and abuse of that level, of that magnitude, it's going to have an impact on who you are as an individual, as a human being itself. And that's going to alter the way you respond to situations, the way you respond to success, the way you respond to failure. It's going to have a huge impact on you.
I don't think
he's built the mental wherewithal to deal with the noise, the outside noise.
Yeah.
To just shut all of that out and have, like, and that's why I say it's so integral for cricketers to have two or three people or one or two people to kind of lean on just for the game.
Well, that's where I want to come to next. I don't want to count how many coaches he's had or how many chairman of selectors.
Exactly.
Or how many batting coaches,
and
right?
You add power into that mix. Captain of the Pakistan cricket team.
And then not captain.
And then he's got the say over everybody else.
Right.
It's going to, and then his teammates in return lose respect for him and change the way they deal with him. Yeah. He's had to deal with all of these complexities from a human level. Yeah. It's a lot
of
digging.
Should we add another layer to it? Like, because Virat evolved his game from a fitness standpoint due to which he was able to get more singles, all those things. Also being a bottom hand player, wrist, gap finding ability, I would say at par with somebody even like Brian Lara. Due to that, he never was kind of relying on boundaries that much, whereas Babar,
he chose not to rely on boundaries.
Yeah, exactly. But Babar kind of lost out on the fitness also, so he was reliant on the boundaries also. Due to that, maybe block and then taking some undue risk and vanishing. And also being a top hand player, is it kind of also contributing to all that?
I'm fascinated by this because I'd love to have a sit down with him just from a human perspective and just understand, okay, what is it that's going on? Yeah. And you need someone to do it from a place where he can speak in a language that's comfortable to him.
Yep.
You know, but ask the right questions, translate it, and then he speaks in a language that's comfortable to him, and he's able to put it out, and then that's been able to be iterated and put out to the world from his perspective. Because I think this impacts even people like, say, Vaibhav, people playing anywhere in the world who are prodigious in nature, right?
There's an incredible book to be written about what has happened to him. And I don't know, he's obviously not ready for it at the moment. But I know there are Pakistani fans, even Bayram, who works with us, he's like, maybe he just wasn't that good. And I was like, he was that good.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't...
He was that good.
Like, technically, I would say, technically, he was probably better than Virat. And Virat is very high up, technically. You know, the way he saw the ball, the way he moved into it and everything else. And so you don't fluke what he did. That doesn't mean that he doesn't have flaws. And as we said, he probably did change around too much, but he was a really good player.
So a couple of things. One is, could he have gone the Virat route of elongating the career and maybe rejuvenating himself by fitness, by jacking himself up physically and becoming more powerful to cope with the demands of the modern game better? Right, he could have got himself physically stronger, let's say. Also, if you change jobs in life, right, you have a new challenge and you go for it, and you are, you know, working really, really hard to impress a new boss and all that. But if you change jobs every 2 weeks, your brain's melted because you can't cope with it.
Exactly.
And Pakistan cricket is a mess, right? Loads of cricket is a mess. But Pakistan cricket
even
is a mess.
Even more so.
On levels that you can't ever guess what's going to happen next, because his boss is changing every 2 weeks. Then he's the boss. Then he's not. Then he's got selection rights. And then he hasn't. And then he's not being selected himself. How the hell do you cope with that whilst functioning as an athlete?
I have travelled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things: the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it, and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny sims and get the one that does it all. Go to Selly.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Selly.
And another thing, like if you look at two countries, India was still going through a very different phase altogether. So there was obsession for Virat, no doubt about it. But I personally felt that obsession was for Babar was on a completely different level altogether.
One of the things that I feel, you're probably right, because see, the thing is when it comes to Pakistan, they wanted someone that you could equate to Virat.
And,
right, yeah. In stature, and then he was one of those guys that began the narrative, and then yes. It kind of blew up. Could you say Babar is as good a player as Rohit, and Rohit and Virat? Like, can you hold them in that same place? You probably could, but format wise, right? You also saw a lot of Babar success coming against Zimbabwe, the minnows, so to speak, right? And not the primary teams. Now, how do you? Like, and how do you equate that success where the success of the Rohit or a Virat is at a scale of like it's unprecedented that the against the top teams. So for me, I think it's how you deal with the narratives that have been set and you're trying to live up to, and then you have your own personal inclinations of, you know what, like this is the conversations going on around me. I want to peg myself up there, and you have personal ambitions as well. You throw that into the mix with everything that you just mentioned. It's like it's a crazy kind of soup of disaster, to be honest.
Well, what Deepak was saying there is, I think the difference is that Virat wasn't saving Indian society, because Indian society was moving with Virat, right?
Exactly.
And even if Virat had been a bust,
hang on,
we would have been like, well, they're still Rohit, right? Yeah. And then Shubman Gill comes back.
Money, all those
things. Was not the case. I wrote a piece, I can't remember when it was, 2018, 2019, and it was a joking piece basically saying, you know, dear Baba, please save us. Because that's all I ever heard online from Pakistani fans. There was a savior aspect, and the problem is, you know, that's not an athlete at that stage, right? We're talking well beyond what an athlete.
And trust me, like if 2021-22, when they won one of the best T20I sides in the world, they would have managed to win one World Cup, Babar's career trajectory would have been a completely different ballgame altogether.
But you're talking about the fitness part, right? The fitness part that you're talking about Virat. People don't understand what, from a cultural standpoint, what Virat has actually done. What he's been able to do to give up everything that he gave up to.
And not every athlete does that.
I'm telling you, very few cricketers from that part of the world are willing to do that. Like I'm saying, very few cricketers from India, except from the subcontinent, are willing to do what Virat has done. People don't understand the level of dedication, the madness, the obsession it takes to say, that's who I'm going to be every day of my life. I don't care for taste. I just eat for fuel.
And he's Ronaldo.
Like you get one in each sport, perhaps. You can't expect, us even having a conversation about someone like Babar doing it or somebody else doing it, it's going to take so much out of them. It's going to be like an Inzi story where if he does that, it's just going to deplete.
You just said there, which is fascinating. I think we agree. I don't know if you do, but we think the Pakistan team was good enough to have won a World Cup.
21-22, they were one of the best T20I sides in the world.
If they win a World Cup, a lot of the pressure that's been on him would have just disappeared, right?
Exactly. He would have been a different batter altogether.
If Marcus Stoinis had been caught by deep mid-wicket when what's-his-name wasn't on the boundary, I'm sure Rob's still angry about that one. Like, if that fielder was on the boundary, Stoinis gets caught, Stoinis and Wade can't put that partnership on.
Yeah.
Every chance they win that World Cup. If Shaheen Afridi doesn't hurt his knee, Stokes have got him into a bit of a hole there. Afridi comes in, gets rid of Stokes, whatever. They win one of those World Cups. It just would have changed how he felt about himself, right? And how everyone else felt about him. Here's the last thing I would say. We're in an era where T20 cricket is more important than ever before, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, we're seeing that. We are looking at cricketers now and they are trying to make a T20 cricket happen. Dom Sibley plays T20 cricket, right? You know, like guys that couldn't hit the ball off the square are learning to do that. Babar Azam would be a better cricketer, I think, if he didn't play any T20 cricket.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Oh, definitely.
The PSL's really important in Pakistan now. Can you pull away? That's my question.
They probably wouldn't let him pull away from the PSL. But if he wants to elongate or his career or make a comeback, right, to get anywhere near where he was, that's the best route.
But that's the complexity, right? The complexity is, how do you think of yourself and your own career and your own trajectory in your career when your whole country thinks of you as the savior?
Yeah.
I do not have experience in that.
You're my personal savior.
But this season, we have seen something very different from Babar. He has become a spin basher in PSL. So he's evolved as a
batter. Don't get me started on the fact that he's not even used his main skills correctly. Yeah. But you're right. And I do think that if he was in a better mind space, he probably would have evolved quicker, right? Yeah. But I think what Robbie was saying before, he dug in. He went, no, I'm doing things the right way. Yes. And it's like, it hasn't quite gone. Yeah. Anyway, great chat.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Ruckshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv.
If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.